Forbes back on the Boss Man Show. Here with friend of the show, ETSU Coach D Forbes out of the Southern Conference. The Bucks go to the big dance one more time. Coach, what's up with you guys up there in the Tri-Cities area?
It's pretty status quo right now. It's been an interesting day, you know, after being told we were going to have fans. You know, we're going to meet with the team today and then start practice. We haven't had practice since we won the tournament, but we're excited to be in the tournament.
Yeah, Coach, you know, I know you guys had a tough three-day battle out there, man. You know, how are your legs against Wofford? Because you played VMI in Western Carolina, and Warren Prosser's team plays very fast, kind of like how you guys do. So how are those legs on day three against Wofford to get that job done there?
I thought we were in great shape. You know, Wofford was actually probably the one that was tired. They had to play four games, you know, and so I'm sure they ran out of gas. And, you know, the game against Western Carolina was a fast-paced game, but we really jumped on them early, and it really wasn't ever really a close game, so I was able to play a lot of people. We won, you know, by over 20 points, and so good shape going into the championship.
Yes, indeed, and I can say, you know, I noticed that when you played Western, you jumped in pretty early. Because I said to myself, well, Coach, Tim, guys, you saved some energy there because you jumped early. You got to play a lot of guys. And these guys had tournament experience because, you know, you never know in a tournament situation where you might need a guy down the road. So giving a few minutes here or there, even against Western Carolina in a blowout situation, will help a young man if you may need him come time to beat the big dance time here next week.
That's exactly. He's back from an injury. We're 9-deep. You know, we played 9 players consistently double-digit minutes pretty much the entire tournament. And so I think that's going to be a big strength for us going into the NCAA tournament is we can go so deep. We can play different ways. We can play big. We can play small. We can play Jerome and 7-foot Lucas Cassan together, or we can play Bo Hodges or Bonnie Patterson at 6-4 at the 4. It just kind of depends on the matchup. But I agree. I think having depth and having some experience, a lot of experience during the tournament is very helpful.
And, Coach, the motivation with your guys for playing Wofford, because you guys played them, they played you tough both times this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that means you had your attention in the scouting reports and film session and the walkthrough, because you know this team can beat you for play here or there. It goes the right way. They can beat you. And Jay McCauley does a great job over there. But your guys are locked and loaded, man. I saw it in their eyes watching it on TV there. Man, they was going to get that job done no matter what for you and the Bucks program.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Jay. He did a really nice job in his first year, especially after they lost 7 in a row. You know, he kept the team together and got them to the championship. And the one thing that we were able to do, though, all year long against them in the 3 games is defend them under the 3-point line. They never made more than 6 threes against us. And, you know, I felt like going into each game, if they made 10 or more, they could beat us. If they didn't, but what we concentrated on, you know, was – making them beat us 2x2 instead of by threes. And I thought the strategy worked out pretty well. And, you know, we came out early in the game on Monday and popped them in the mouth with 11-2 run, but then they came back and tied the game up. And, you know, it was a 5-point game at halftime. And a lot of our problems that we were having, they were scoring off our turnovers. And once we quit turning the ball over, we only had a couple turnovers. And thought our defense was really locked in. You know, we got the lead up to 20, and it really kind of handily won the game.
And as I watched the whole tournament, Coach, I saw this effort from Trey, Isaiah, and Damian, your top three guards there, giving a great effort, some heavy minutes, leading the team. Even never know which night the guys are going to jump in and do their thing, because you know, Damian was playing well against VMI and Western, and then Trey comes in against Wofford and does his thing, man. So talk about those three young men. I felt like they're the glue to your program, and they're the key to get to the ignition right there, gets everybody else going in the right direction.
Well, you're right. And, you know, the key to our team all year long is that, you know, we're one of like 2 teams in the country that have had, we had 8 different leading scorers this year on our team in a game. 8. And you just said 3 of them, you know, Davey and Trey and Pun, or Isaiah, I'm sorry. His nickname's Big Pun. You like that?
Yeah, no doubt.
Played outstanding. You know, he was the MVP of the tournament. He's also the best defender on our team and probably our most valuable player. You know, Davian, like you said, in the first 2 games, Davian, in the first 2 games of the tournament against VMI and Western Carolina, he only missed 2 shots. You know, he was playing at a really high level, and Trey's our leading scorer. And Trey didn't really start till I don't know, mid-January was when we lost to Mercer. I changed the starting line. It was coming off the bench the entire year, leading us in scoring. So it just goes to show you, you know, that these guys really care about winning. They don't really care about stats because we've had so many different people lead us in scoring this year.
And, Coach, you kind of led me to my next point about you lost to Mercer. They came into your place, which rarely ever happens, and gets a win. But Greg Geary, first year down there at Mercer, doing a great job there. He's will be on the rise real soon. But after losing that game, I feel like that was a key point for you guys because you guys go on a 12-game winning streak. After that happens, they come in place and win. So did that loss to Mercer kind of trigger some with your guys? So you changed the lineup after that game as well. So it's like something really clicked with your young men, 12 in a row, because you can't win 12 in a row in the SoCon without you guys being locked and loaded and being on point with each other. So what was about that game losing to Mercer that triggered everything to right now?
Well, you know, like you said, I agree. I really like Greg Geary. I think he's going to do an outstanding job. They came in here, boss man, and they popped us in the mouth at home, which you're right. You know, we lost one home game all year. We probably, in the 5 years I've been here, I think we've lost 12 home games. But they beat us. And what I felt like was we were really having a hard time scoring. You know, we lost Jeromy Rodriguez, who was arguably our best player, you know, a SoCon Player of the Year candidate in January. He had a stress fracture in his foot, so he was out till the end of the season. And so we had more of a defensive line starting the game. We had Bonnie Patterson, Pat Good in there. So after we lost to Mercer, I just felt like we were struggling to score. And so we put Davian and Trey in the starting lineup and Pat and Bonnie came off the bench and we took off. You know, we got off to a better start in most games offensively. And yeah, we've won 12 in a row since, and that's a credit to those players. And you know, when you lose, you got to figure out why, you know, and you got to be accountable. You got to look in the mirror and you got to try to make adjustments. And I thought we did a good job of that.
And, Coach, it's the second time in your tenure at ETSU, you guys going to the big dance. And that makes you feel good for the fans up in East Tennessee who cheer for you guys like no other man. So go back there. And you're going to be scary to play. I can tell you now, coaches have told me off the record they don't want to play you. So I know that already. As your team is scary. So talk about that for you guys. Second time since you've been at ETSU in your 5 years, going back to the big dance here.
And listen, boss man, the last two games here against Furman and Western Carolina, we had complete sellouts at 6,177 people. We went down to Asheville for three games and took over 5,000 fans to each game. So, to show you, I mean, these people are on fire about about basketball. They've always loved basketball here, but now they're at a whole different level, and that's exciting for our. It's exciting for our fans, and it's exciting for our players. We don't have a player on our team that's played in the NCAA tournament. And so they have worked really, really hard to get to this point. I mean, it started in June. We went to Europe in August. You know, we did a really good job in the non-conference. We beat LSU handily on the road. We went through the SoCon 16-2, and then we won the tournament. So they're ready, and they're excited, and it's a great time, you know, to be a part of our program right now.
And a 30-win season at a mid-major school, Coach, that's very rare. 30 wins, mid-major school, I mean, man, you're doing some big things up there in John City, Coach. You can't beat that kind of numbers. 30 wins, and SoCon, you're a man.
30 is a big number. And to put it in perspective, the Southern Conference has been in existence for 100 years this year. And early in the Southern Conference, North Carolina State, West Virginia, a lot of high-major teams were in the league. In the 100-year history, there's only four teams win 30 or more games. That's North Carolina, North Carolina State, Wofford, and us. And Wofford did it last year. But we're the only team in the history of the Southern Conference to go into the tournament with 30 wins. And I've been very fortunate. I've been on some great staffs with some great players. And this is the sixth time in my 31 years that we've won 30 or more games. And I'm just telling you, when you do that, you have a great, and you got to because that's the number to get to.
And, Coach, if my numbers are correct, you're the winningest coach since you've been in Tennessee of the last 5 years. You're the winningest coach in Tennessee. If I think that's correct, you've won more than Belmont's won, Austin Peay, and all the rest of them in the state. So I think you are the school most wins in the state, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I know we got the most wins of all the schools in the state. You know, we you know how it goes in recruiting. Sometimes you got to use those type of things. But, you know, great staff. You know, Jason Shea's been with you for 12 years, Brooke Savage, 11, B.J. Mackey in year three, Frank Davis, year three. Those guys are all big time. And without them, we couldn't be where we're at. And then we've had, you know, really good players. As I've told you before, really good players make really good coaches. And it's all about the players. And so it's a credit to them. It's a credit to our university and the support that we get. And from our president, Dr. Brian Noll, you know, he's probably the biggest basketball fan that there is. And so it all kind of goes together when you do things like that.
And your conference coach, seven schools over 500 with at least 17 wins, and four of them 20 or better, what you guys have in 30. So that's shows you how tough your conference was to win this conference the way you guys did with seven schools over 500 with 17 wins. It is, to me, shows how the conference was even more than what you accomplished, because the league was tough from top to bottom.
There's no question. It's as deep as it ever has been. Last year it was top heavy. You know, we had four teams with 24 or more wins. This year, you just said, okay, we won it. Furman was really good, Greensboro. But now you have Western Carolina, Mercer, and Chattanooga stepping to the forefront. I mean, Wofford finished seventh in our league. You know, winning 30 games to going seventh in the league. And you saw Chattanooga. They would have made the tournament. They would have played us in the championship game had, you know, Storm Murphy made a last second shot, you know, to beat them in the semifinals. And so, you know, Coach Paris has done a really good job. Mark's done a great job at Western. Greg obviously done a great job at Mercer. I mean, the league's getting better and better and better and better. And hopefully someday we'll get a little for our league than what we've been getting.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach Forbes, hey, I'm happy in the tournament, man. I'll be definitely cheering for you. I know you're going to scare the hell out of somebody. I know that already. So I look forward to seeing who you draw, who you scare, man. Hopefully you get the job done for the SoCon and the Bucks, man, Tennessee as a whole, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, Boston, we can make it to the second weekend. We'll have another conversation. How about that?
We sure will, Coach. You know I'll be looking for you. You know I will.
Well, right, Coach, man, I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, Coach. Have a good one. Talk to you real soon, buddy.
My heart skips skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show here with my man from Memphis, Anthony Sain. Does great work covering those Memphis Grizzlies. Anthony, what's good, my brother?
My guy, JR, what's up, man?
Man, not much, man. It's in John getting ready for his Hawks game tonight against the Hornets, man. So talk to us, brother. I mean, you got the SI gig for the Grizzlies Maven. Talk to us about that gig, first of all, what you got going on with that site, man.
Well, yeah, man, I just cover the Grizzlies on a daily basis with SI, what they're doing with Maven and their partnership with Sports Illustrated. I'm covering the team for allgrizzlies.com, which is a Sports Illustrated website. Just, you know, daily coverage of the team, just trying to be, you know, kind of a heartbeat of the team and what's going on a daily basis.
Now, you know, the Grizz was not expected to be as good this year. Mm-hmm. The Hawks as well. The Grizz is kind of one of those teams that would be at the bottom, compete for that high pick. And the Grizz thought they would have to convey that pick this year to Brooklyn. But obviously, it was going to convey them most likely with the Grizz not getting in the top six protector there. So
Right. This
season, the way it's going for you guys, man, how surprising was it? And when did you kind of know you guys had something?
Oh, it was extremely surprising, man. A lot of us were thinking the team could be, you know, decent. We were just hoping to see some flashes from Jaren and Ja this year. But it's been extremely surprising to see a team that's competing for the playoffs. Our record isn't the best. You know, it's kind of been a down season in the West, at the bottom of the West. So, you know, we've been good enough to be in the playoff picture all season, but it's definitely been surprising. We're definitely ahead of schedule as far as our rebuild is concerned.
And how key was Jay Crowder to that in Solomon Hill before they got traded to Miami? Because I know those kind of throw-ins, those trades from Atlanta and with Utah. But how key were they to the Memphis Grizzlies, helping those young players like Ja and Jaren learn how to be professionals and kind of teach them the ropes a little bit during that short time in Memphis?
Yeah, they were great leaders for the team. Even if you ask the guys today, they'll tell you that they really appreciated what those guys brought as far as leadership is concerned. And they also were able to turn a guy like John Morant into a leader of that locker room. They were able to get him going fast-track him into learning how to be a leader. Because ever since they've been gone, Jaws had to take over that role. It's his locker room now. And that's the responsibility they've given to a 20-year-old young man. And like I said, when they were there, they definitely did a lot as far as just teaching those guys how to be vets, teaching them how to be professionals, and just – also being an extension of Coach Jenkins. Coach Jenkins prided himself on speaking on how those guys were guys that could help them, not only in the locker room, but actually on the basketball court as far as how to get the guys to initiate offenses and where to be on defense and those type of things as well.
And who would have known re-signing Jonas Valanciunas at a 3-year deal would be so key to the degree of success? Because at the time, like 3 years, $45 million for Jonas Valanciunas, but they signed that deal. And how key has he been to the guys' success, helping those young players?
He's been great. He's been a guy where whenever the Grizzlies are going through offensive lows, when they're struggling to score, JB's been a guy that's been getting buckets. I mean, he's had games where he's had 15 points, 15 rebounds, 20 points, 10 rebounds. Just have some monster games with the Grizzlies, and he's just a tough guy who just feeds off of whatever a team has another true big. He just seems like he feeds off of those type of matchups. He's not a bully per se because he likes a guy to fight back. So whenever a guy tries to fight back against JB, you know he's gonna have a big game.
I hear that. You know what? It's an interest right now with you guys. You get Jaren Jackson out, so it's Brandon Clark. But watching you guys Saturday night and watching you guys on Monday night in Atlanta, I mean, some of you guys are doing great without those two young key cogs in your rotation. You're doing pretty great without them.
Yeah, they're just finding ways to win right now. They're finding ways to score. Coach Taylor Jenkins has this let-it-fly approach where he wants the team taking as many three-point shots as possible. So he's just constantly tinkering to just get the guys to get more shots and finding ways to score. And plus, that's just, you know, having a guy like John Morant, who's an elite-level point guard. He calls himself the point guard, and that's real. John really is one of those guys who finds ways for other guys in his team to score. And he gets his points, of course, but the fact that he's such a pass-first, looking for other guys to score, offensive-minded point guard, just really helps his team. He's truly willing his team to victories over the last few weeks.
I see that. And, you know, also I've noticed from watching you guys the past two games here, I watched you in person, that, you know, the bench, like, no matter who you guys throw out there, they get the job done, whether it be a short burst here or there. They make impact. And then you got Anthony Tolliver in the mix now, and I was trying to see how well Josh Jackson played right there on Saturday night. I didn't know he was even up from the hustle, but he's playing well for you guys.
Yeah, Josh has been good. Tolliver, 10-day contract guy. They're just, like I said, it's really nothing I can really say about it. Like, they're literally finding ways that, you know, guys that you don't expect to come in and score points, and they're doing it. Even Tyus Jones, who's shooting like high 40, I think like 45% for three since the month of March. It's just been just a lot of surprising things have been going with the team as far as scoring is concerned. And Josh Jackson, still a very young player, young prospect, still in his early 20s, and just finding him and just, letting him spend his time with the hustle and not coming to the Grizzlies, really looking like a guy that they probably should keep around for years to come. And like I said, their bench has really been definitely been overachieving over the last few weeks.
And also, you signed Jontay Porter to a multi-year deal yesterday. To me, you're going to lose the first-round pick. It sounds like your first-round pick getting him for next year.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that, especially with the Grizzlies. Like you said, they're going to convey their pick to Boston, to the Celtics this year, more than likely. But that being so, you got a guy like Jontay Porter who – if he had came out of college his freshman year, probably would have been a first-round pick, possible lottery pick. And that's what he was projected to be. And to get a guy like that who went undrafted, understandably because of the knee injuries, and then to jump ahead of everyone and just get him this year as opposed to trying to compete with other teams this summer, just a brilliant move by the Grizzlies to get a jump on him to possibly see what they have in him. And then they have that option for next year where they can see what he looks like coming into camp and whether or not they're going to keep him or not. Just very smart, savvy move by the young Grizzlies front office.
And yeah, just because they're the Grizzlies have, man, they're making some shrewd moves. Mm-hmm. I mean, move after move after move just seemed like it's a home run hit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just amazed because I know how I used to be when I was around for Chris Wallace and Levy and all mm-hmm. those Hollinger. I was around for that. So I've seen some of those moves. So how you forgot something about that new front office? How they're making those hitting on all their moves right now?
Yeah, we're super excited here in Memphis about the things that the front office is doing. Just a young crew of guys, man, who is just wise beyond their years. Zach Kleiman is the leader of the group. Also, Tayshaun Prince, Rich Cho, Chris Macris, those guys just doing some great things here in Memphis, man. Like, they're really, like I said, they've hit on everything. A lot of people were debating about the Iguodala deal. But you look at the Iguodala deal, you got a guy in Justice Winslow who's looking to make his debut soon, who's probably going to be the Grizzlies small forward for years to come. Basically, for a guy who Iguodala who hasn't done anything since he's been to Miami, you traded away Jay Crowder, you got James Johnson's contract, which you turned into Gorgie Dean. And then you get, you know, you basically sent, you didn't have anything with Iggy. You basically traded Jay Crowder for Justice Winslow, basically, is how the deal works out. And they just, you know, they've hit everything, and they've just been winning on left and right.
Yes, indeed. You know what, man? You know, as I told you Saturday night at the game, like, I like what you guys are doing because, like, you guys are way ahead of mm-hmm. us in rebuild right now. And I feel like, you know, Jai and Trey are going to be going at it twice a year for years to come. But I have a big issue. A question is that this, Anthony, is this, that, hey, Trey was going to get paid. We know that. But in year six or seven, when Sam signed that third contract, the Supermax contract, he says, no, I want out of here. Does Bennett for Trey to – just been in for trade now, stop the rebuild process to getting veterans in there, does it then backfire when he leaves on you in 5 years from now?
Yeah, that could be a problem as far as the Hawks are concerned. One of the things that I think that kind of stands out about what the Hawks did that I think was a mistake, I think that they tried to build their team too much to look like the Golden State Warriors. And I think that was a mistake because you don't know what those guys are going to turn into. I think that they should have put more of a focus on just acquiring good players, just getting the best players available instead of trying to fit such a detailed formula where you were trying to make guys fit a very detailed, specific formula to make it look like the Golden State Warriors or whatever you're trying to do. I think they really should have just focused on getting the best players available. And I'm not particularly sure that they did that. I think they kind of started kind of get guys to fit into a puzzle or fit into a position or fit into a skill set. And I think that's kind of a dangerous game to do when you're talking about drafting players that young. And I think it's kind of coming back to bite the Hawks now. And then also they played so well at the end of last season that they let the media-driven thing where people were projecting the Hawks to be so good this year, so much better to take this leap. I think that they started reading their own press clippings instead of just focusing on – you know, gradually getting better over time. And that's something that I applaud the Grizzlies for. That they're not getting so caught up in the fact that they're ahead of schedule. Like, they still made trades where they traded out Jay Crowder and Song the Hill, who were vets, and brought in more younger players, acquired more assets, still looking towards the future. You know, instead of just dealing off guys to bring in more vets, holding on to their vets, they were looking more towards the future than they did, you know, the current situation. I think that's a fatal mistake that the Hawks made.
Anthony, you know I was one of the ones who were saying all summer long, the Hawks aren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
You all are believing the hype, and seeing ticket holders are upset because the Hawks oversold, like, we're going to make the playoffs this year, give people to buy seeing tickets, and I'm like,
yeah, it wouldn't time.
Y'all made a fatal mistake because people are not going to buy next year because what happened this year. Mm-hmm. And the excuse now is that, hey, if we had John Collins, we would have been making the playoffs. No, you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. We might have four or five more wins,
right?
But that's it.
you know,
that's my beef with Hawks media, Hawks fans, organization too. Is that I know you want to think positive. You want to, oh yeah, we're gonna no, just be real about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not that good. Quit trying to rush the process.
Yeah.
And don't let your second-year player get you into bad deals and stunt the growth of the process of rebuilding and retooling this thing in Atlanta.
Right. And I totally agree with you on that.
But yes, indeed, bro. Good to have you on the show, Anthony, man. good work at Grizzlies Maven there, man. Look forward to seeing you, man, down the road.
Oh, yeah.
I may come over there for a playoff game. I may do that. We done it for 15 days in Cleveland.
Wow,
so I might come see y'all game 3 or 4, man, in Memphis.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad that you go ahead and went on to put us in the playoffs, man, because we're trying to get there. But I'm going to enjoy the ride.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind taking that trip to Atlanta. So, yeah, maybe we can just keep that rivalry going between the Grizzlies and the Hawks through Trey and Duh.
No doubt. Hey, as they say in church, we're going to claim it now. The Grizz in the playoffs. We're going to claim it now.
Receive it, brother. Amen.
Yes, indeed. Right, hey, have a good one. Talk to you real soon, man.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you're going to do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, on the Boss Man Show, time for the JC Sports Report with my man, JC Smith. Hey, bro, it's good to see you this Saturday, man. That's Saturday in Memphis, man. I wish I could stay longer, man, but hey, you know how it is when the Hawks come once a year, man.
Oh, no doubt, man. It was good to see you, man. We had a good time out on Bill Street after the game. You know, good times as always, bro.
Yes, indeed. Well, bro, like, you know, let's talk about that game a little bit there. The Hawks didn't show up again, kind of was down the whole game. The Grizz kind of took it to them with their bitch as well. Josh Jackson has been a revelation, playing well from the hustle, man. What are your thoughts on this another night of the Grizzlies beating the Hawks twice last week, man?
Hey, man, like I said, it's no sign of the times, man. The Hawks, you know, a lot of people look at the Hawks as being that team kind of like where the Grizz are now. You know, a lot of people thought the Hawks were going to be able to kind of make that next step and, you know, make some progress in the Eastern Conference, you know, but things didn't go their way as far as injuries and other things. Excuse me. As far as injuries and everything, you know, but, yeah, like I said, you know, the Grizz, you know, just this young team, this young nucleus that they have. You mentioned the likes of Josh Jackson and the role that he's playing now. Coming up, you know, from the G League hustle, you know, he's doing some good things for that team off the bench, man. Really filling in on that second unit. Grizz getting some good news back regarding their injury front, you know, with the likes of Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark and Justice Winslow is reporting to practice also this week. So, you know, those guys could be in the mix in the next week or two here, where the Grizz could have, you know, maybe a full stable of guys, you know, to go to. As his playoff run is starting to look more and more likely now.
Now, bro, this came down from the NBA about the coronavirus measures. The Indian Wells tennis tournament was canceled in California. South by Southwest was canceled. Other festivals are being canceled due to coronavirus. Now, the NBA is limiting media access to the players now. Obviously, stay feet away from players all the time. No more locker room access. So my question is, bro, what are your thoughts on all these measures we're taking for the coronavirus, and how is it going to affect us media people who do our jobs now, who make our money going to locker room talking to players now, who we can't do it anymore? It's going to hurt sourcing and hurting the back channels and stuff, how stuff gets out now, because now the PR guys will have control of who and when you talk to the players now, based on the NBA's new measures.
Yeah, man, you know, desperate times. Calls for desperate measures, you know, with this outbreak, if you will, of a coronavirus that is just, you know, sweeping the nation here. You know, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, they just want to be proactive, you know, about the situation and try to prevent the spreading of the virus. So I don't think it's something that's going to be, of course, it's not going to be long-term involved. I think maybe they're going to try this out for about, you know, a few weeks just to see, you know, maybe up to playoff time. And who knows, it may continue on to the playoffs. But I don't see it's something that's going to be like a permanent thing. You know what I'm saying? It's just something until, you know, they can kind of get a handle on this virus situation. And, you know, it seems like every other day there's news about, you know, it's popping up or spreading, you know, somewhere new in the country now. So I think the NBA, you know, they're just trying to do the right thing. But, you know, as far as guys like me and you, you know, who are used to going in the locker room and talking to the players one-on-one, you know, that's how we did our job, you know, getting that, getting those sound bites, you know, and doing, you know, what we needed to do with them. So it's going to be different. You know, I think they're going to go to more of a press conference style now. Just have the players come out and kind of do like, you know, one big group conference there. You know, the NBA is trying to protect the players. They're trying to protect the media. You know, they're trying to do the best thing they can, you know, until everything can kind of get handled.
Well, I'm going to put it this way. Now, okay, let's talk about it from FedEx Forum perspective. FedEx Forum is for those that have been in the media, for FedEx Forum, is very small. For us, the hallway. Viz locker room is very small in that hallway as well. The Grizz locker room is now kind of down the hallway. You get to get going there a different way than you used to. So it's like, unless you're going to bring them all into that dining room area at FedEx Forum, but what about the Vizion team? Because that hallway is very tight down there. So it's going to be a tight space. So how are you going to bring them out to the court and do it then? That's just my question about when you put this in there, the logistics of how it's going to actually work because of how some arenas like FedEx Forum are formulated and set up that way.
Right. Like you said, you know, the hallowed halls of the FedEx Forum. Like I said, the Bisman locker room is very, very small compared, I think, other arenas and everything, man. Yeah, so it's going to be, you know, unique and a challenge as far as how they're going to, you know, pull all this off as far as having maybe just one big media session there in that main conference room area in the FedEx Forum, you know. But like I said, I think it's going to be something, you know, it's going to be kind of, you know, weird at first, but after a while, things will become more of the norm, and, you know, media members will get used to it. This is one of the things you have to go through until, you know, the situation resolves itself. I'd rather they do it this way as opposed to trying to play the games without NBA, without fans. You know, LeBron spoke out on that, talking about he ain't playing if that's what the NBA decided to do. It wouldn't even makes sense, man. You might as well call it the season. You know, at that point, if you go play in empty arenas, you know, in fear of the coronavirus, you know, you want to, you know, do everything you can to protect everybody, but, you know, you can't have NBA basketball without fans in the arena.
You got that right, and a report came out about Dak Prescott being offered an annual average of $33 million a year, $105 million guaranteed. He turned that offer down. What are your thoughts on him turning out an offer of $33 million per year annually, $105 guaranteed, if it's actually true? You know the Cowboys tend to leak certain stuff for certain reasons to make people look bad. If it's actually true, what they leaked to James Slater and those Cowboy reporters.
Right. Yeah, you know, me being, you know, I admit it, you know, I'm probably the world's biggest Cowboy fan, but I'm a realist at the same time. I'm not. You know, I'm not one of these imaginary daydream Cowboy fans if we're going to win a Super Bowl every year, you know. But in regards to Dak, you know, I don't hold Dak in the highest regard, but I do recognize that the team, they need him. You know, who can you get better than Dak at this point in his career and where his team is as far as, you know, having that window open to try to make a run. As far as the actual figures, what I'm hearing on that, boss, as far as sources and all that goes, is the fact that the point of contention is not so much the guaranteed money. The guaranteed money is fine. The annual percentage is not an issue also. The issue is Dak wants to be paid more than Carson Wentz. He wants to be paid annually more than Jared Goff. So that's the issue. And also, with the guaranteed money, they want to know, is like 75% of that guaranteed money going to be, you know, within the first 12 months of the calendar year. You see what I'm saying? They want all that. They want both that $100 million guaranteed, you know, in the first year or two of the deal. So that's what the hangup is. They got, I believe, I want to say till Thursday to go ahead and try to get this done, or they're going to go ahead and tag him with the free agent tag. I'm sorry, with the franchise tag to go ahead and lock him in. And then they can still try to negotiate, you know, through mid-June to try to get a deal done. But that's really where things stand right now, just trying to figure out, you know, is he going to be a top three paid quarterback? Because he doesn't want to fall under Goff or start Carson Wentz. You know, he wants to get paid more than those guys. And that's really where things stand right now.
You know, bro, excuse me, with football, the XFL is a sustainability. I mean, I see them on social media tweeting, but I'm not watching the XFL, really. I'm still focused on the Atlanta Hawks and, you know, going out and having a good time. I'm not making XFL appointment TV. Now, when I was younger, I did. When it came around in 01, 2000, I was 13. And I didn't miss the XFL. I was 13. I was watching wrestling. I liked the XFL ball. I watched it when I was a 13-year-old back when it first came around. But now, being in my 30s and having a lot of life and, you know, having things to do, it's not a appointment watching for me like it was when I was a kid. So what's your thoughts about the XFL's sustainability with kind of people like myself who are, like, over football at the moment, fully in basketball, and it's kind of like college basketball, March Madness, about to have to get going here. Like, the XFL kind of falls in like, fourth or fifth on the totem pole right now.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, everybody was kind of intrigued that first weekend, you remember, and all the ratings and you know, how everybody, you know, was feeling really good, you know, about the XFL. And I think it's something, you know, that has a chance to kind of be like a, you know, a viable option. Because, you know, football fans love football 24/7, 365. So if you can have a league that's fun to watch, you know, it kind of like just something, it has a minor league feel to it, because the NFL is always going to be king. But I think it's room for it. You know, if you market it the right way, you have exciting players, you know, you got big hits out there. You know, I think it's room for it. But if you're asking me, you know, will I watch it? You know, nah. Like you said, you know, because so many other things going on. Like, that would fall, like, six or seven on my weekend to-do list. You know, maybe lower than that. It's definitely outside top 10. Like, I can't sit down. I can watch maybe, like, a few minutes. But it's not like I'm going to be watching the Houston Roughnecks. You know what I'm saying? I'm not watching a full game with the Houston Roughnecks. I can't do it, man. But I think it's something that could be here, you know, for a number of years. But am I going to be watching it? Nah, fam. I'd rather watch Netflix, you know, catch up on some old shows or something than watch XFL.
Yes, it is. Last one I got for you, bro. What's up with the Rams' new logo? It's kind of like it should be a Chargers logo, not the Rams logo. Like, kind of, it just don't look good. You see the logo that they had that they got leaked there? I think it's terrible.
You know what, boss? I am actually pulling it up as we speak, looking at the new logo. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Not a fan, bro.
That is horrific. Who got, like, paid in marketing to put that together? Like, they should be fired.
Yeah, this is literally the term, you know, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. There was nothing wrong with the logo, and the uniforms were dope. You know what I'm saying? The way they had designed ever since they moved to L.A. So, you know, why mess with a good thing, man? Because now you're kind of blending into, like,
Chargers
territory with the way it looks now, man. And you know, the Chargers are already facing the uphill climb in L.A. anyway, so why are you trying to, you know, look like them at this point when you already were looking at as the premier team in L.A.? You know, the Chargers were a little brother compared to the Rams.
Yeah, it needs to be something done. That's terrible. That logo is horrible. It needs to be retired ASAP. But, bro, like I said, good to see you last week, man. You know, in Nashville, since he's training this week, so it's still Tennessee this weekend, so I'm still making that Tennessee run. So, but you know, then next week we'll be in Philadelphia with the Hawks up there, if we can travel, obviously, to see
right.
Joel Embiid and those boards.
Exactly, man. Like, the NBA gonna make all the media members travel by Greyhound,
Amtrak or something
on the road cities, man. You gotta travel Greyhound. You gotta travel the Mega Bus.
Megabus, that's right. Yes, the double decker Megabus, you got there,
yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yes, indeed. Well, bro, hey, thank you as always, my brother. We'll talk to you next week, man. Hold it down, bro.
All right, boss. No doubt. Appreciate you, man.
No doubt. That's the JC Sports Report on the Boss Man Show.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me? Somebody to love.
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
Somebody to love.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show with my man, Tonga T-Bone Williams. Here we for the Boss Report. Bone is back, as promised. He's never fired. He's always hired. What is good, Bone?
I'm just glad that this lowly peon hasn't added to your failing show. So let's get it rolling.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Folks, you've been waiting on it. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. First story, Bone, is this. Florida man's Tampa strip club offers face masks to customers to fight the spread of the coronavirus so patrons can get their twerk on and not get sick.
So where's the fun in that? I mean, how are you going to give your dollars to be motorboating? How are you going to do all this stuff as you normally do, allegedly, in clubs? I mean, this might take a big hit for NBA players, but I know that's their joint.
Yes, you got that right. That's where they go to hang out and blow off steam all the time. In the city of Atlanta, we have a day shift here for the NBA players who want to come to strip club. So, yes, indeed. So, you got that going. Get this. Florida man arrested after clothesline pastor for tapping his woman's butt at the altar during altar call.
Well, he got off easy then, because if he's going to tap my honey's rump roast, I mean, I'm not going for a clothesline. I mean, I might go for a clothesline, which helps protect the power bomb. But I think the pastor got off easy this time, because usually there's a core or there's a spear or some type of power bomb or a stone cold stone. The only guy with a clothesline from hell, hey, all right.
Yes, all he got. I would have gained it more for sure as well for doing that. That's a violation. A big violation. Get this. Florida man arrested after planning and reporting fake bomb at Walmart because the cashier wouldn't give him her number.
Jeez, they ain't that serious. I don't care if he's the dime beast of all dimes. There's no reason to call him a bomb threat and risk jail time. So what's the end game here? He's gonna threaten Walmart with a bomb threat, knowing that it's highly illegal, knowing that he'll get caught, and in the end, he still won't get the number.
Exactly. This story is even worse. Florida man arrested for peeing on Lowe's employee because her rump was so big while she was loading up the shelves. She was bent to overload the shelves. He decided to plot his junk to pee on her at Lowe's.
So he's in an affiliation with Donald Trump, I guess, huh?
Yeah, or
Kelly, the golden shower team. I don't understand that. I mean, I can understand admiring a round one, but why are you whipping it out and why are you urinating? I mean, that's probably the farthest part, weird part of this whole story. Why are you urinating on her?
Exactly. Makes no sense. Makes no sense. And get this. Florida man arrested for stone cold stunning pastor who happened to look down his woman's shirt during first communion this past Sunday and said, I like to lick.
Well, that's also a violation, even if there wasn't any physical contact. Look down my boo shirt and then see all the cleavage. That's also a violation. See, I want to know, why did they swap felonies? Why not? See, because I think it's more serious to have your hand on the bottom. So I would have given him stunner, and if he was Tom, I would give him the clothesline. Because I think punches hit the front.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that if the man's two rows from you. I wouldn't do that. He can read your lips.
Exactly.
He hits you with a stunner for doing that. Florida dealing with stunners, yes indeed. Florida man arrested after woman came over to his house to get down with those dirty sheets. She hadn't washed them in 4 years, you know. She got them left.
So he washed his clothes for his sheets for 4 years?
He hadn't washed them in 4 years and it smelled like it. And he wanted to get down with the girl. She's like, no, I'm good. He went crazy.
If he didn't wash his sheets for 4 years, then I can't imagine that his drawers haven't washed very often either. So So how would he even get her to the house knowing that he probably fucking on her?
He must have promised her a good head game or something. And get this. In measured response to coronavirus outbreak in Florida, Florida man barricades entrance to the local hospital with a couch from Ashley Furniture's furniture home store.
He did what?
He barricaded entrance to the hospital with a couch to keep people from coming in with coronavirus and keep like won't spread it to anybody else in the hospital.
He walked with a couch?
Yes. Ashley Furniture Store.
Ashley. I'm not going to knock Ashley's, even though I've had bad experience with that place. But I'm not going to air them out publicly. But he used it to block out coronavirus?
Yes.
I don't think that's working. I don't think that's going to work that way.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, goodness. Get this. Florida man sneaks out of jail. Runs away from cops. Stops at Popeyes to get a meal, pets some cats, gets caught by deputies.
Wait, you mean like pet actual cats, not kitty?
Nah, actual cats, yeah. Actual
cats. So yeah. He was on the run. He went to Popeyes first, got the pet some cats.
Got picked up.
I don't get that. I mean, I thought it was like it was a code you're using, you know, pet the cat.
No, not this time.
So my man was literally petting kitty cats while he's on the
yes.
run.
Yeah, he got busted. Yes, indeed. Florida man arrested after getting caught getting down with a hooker in the women's restroom at his local Walmart.
Oh, my God. And a local restroom, like a public place?
Yes, the Walmart restroom.
Man. I don't know how it is down by y'all at Walmart bathroom, but ew. Like,
yes.
Up here, it ain't great at all either. So I cannot imagine that he actually thought the ambiance was right to get down in a Walmart bathroom. Now, see, Digital Underground once got big in Burger King bathroom, which is still ill. So I can't imagine how a Walmart bathroom looks.
Awful. Awful. And get this. Florida man arrested after repeatedly offering to show IHOP patrons and waiters his genitals. He dressed him with the genitals, then he steals donuts, and he's arrested later at the local Taco Bell where he was caught whacking off in the parking lot.
My man, he must have been on a binge because he went from the IHOP to the Taco Bell, huh?
Yes.
And he was offering services of showing his junk, huh?
Yes.
And was there meth involved in this? Had to be.
Had to be. Had to be.
Had to be.
Yes. Oh, goodness gracious. Florida man arrested after mooning diners at local Ruby Tuesday saying, quote, look at this great white ass and kiss it.
You didn't even have to say the ilk, the complexion of what that got, because from my experiences growing up my whole life, I've never ever heard or seen of guys of our ilk mooning. That's not like other things. See, there's brother humor and the other humor, and that was always other humor to me.
Yes, indeed. Oh, goodness gracious, this is going to be bad. Naked Florida woman arrested after trying to build and detonate a bomb made from nails, chemicals, mason jars, and KY jelly at Walmart.
So she walked in Walmart naked?
Yes.
So she was already naked walking to Walmart.
Yes.
How far did she get with this plan? They're going to walk into a public place like Walmart naked, where Walmart's always crowded. And you think you're going to get away with making a bomb out of household materials and you're already butt-ass naked in the aisle. How far are you going to get? This plan was not planned out properly.
Not at all. Not at all. Hoo-wee. These little my state. Oh, my God. Florida man leaves crushed water bottle in the store after stealing $3 million in jewelry. Cops used the bottle to track him in California. He was already in jail for knocking out his co-worker with a bat for farting in the cubicle next to him.
Does this all start with a fart?
Yeah. Yes.
And it's next level, huh? I mean, and then he fled to California, man?
Yes.
Wow, that was some fart. I mean, and that triggered him. That must have been some. I mean, because typical to Nash anyway, because, you know, you got coworkers who sometimes eat that nasty food right next to you. They're gonna eat eggs in front of you or some tuna fish that's not good. And I can say, I've been in cubicles before in my life, working in cubicles, and sometimes it can get a little raunchy. Now, I've never thought about taking a bat at someone over some tuna fish. But a fart, I mean, if it's greasy enough, it might
just
damage your
ears,
your memory, your nose.
Yeah, that's a lot going on in that story for sure.
that's a lot going on.
Sly Florida man driving 20 miles over the speed limit on deserted highway tells cops, quote, "I was just going to flow of traffic, but get this, there are no other cars on the road with him."
He was on some Jerry Garcia type hallucinations where he probably thought he was rush hour and going in and out of traffic. The fact that he said that he was trying to beat the traffic and there was no traffic. He was on some day trip right there. Real life day tripping.
Well, try this. Florida man with terrible driving record, criminal history, and suspended license persuades two car dealerships to allow him to test drive brand new cars, which he decides to keep for himself and still on the loose now as we speak.
Well, good for him. And I say that because, I mean, they do these background checks on these test drives, and they hold your stuff. And if they allow this to happen twice, you said twice happened?
Yes.
Yeah, so then you kind of get what you get. So don't get upset. I mean, that's what happened pretty much. So, I mean, he's still at large. I mean, my man's probably having a time in his life right now.
Yes, indeed. And get this. Florida woman with fake IDs throws tampon at cops who try to stop her from getting inside a local bar.
She has fake IDs?
Mm-hmm. Threw her tampon from out of her coochie at the cops.
Oh, man. So, it was obviously being used. And I mean, look, man, I'd rather get punched in the face. I'd rather get slapped. But you're not throwing those dirty tampons out here. I wouldn't be a taser now. I wouldn't be a taser.
Nah, she was not of our ilk. She was off the hook.
Oh, so then she just got like a slap on her wrist, and they probably apologized to her.
Correct. Last two. We got this one right here, Bone. Florida woman charged with challenging Democratic primary voters for relations to Republicans to sustain support Donald Trump.
She went what?
She went in the database and changed people's affiliations from Democrats to Republicans so they could all support Donald Trump in this year's election.
I mean, is that really a shock considering where it is? I mean, down in Florida, that whole thing, the swamp thing, that started in Florida, so that's one of those things where, like, it's not really a shock that there's a Trumper out there trying to corrupt the process. I mean, it's good that he got caught, but it just shows you how crazy a whole lot of them are that whatever happened.
Yes, indeed. Last one I got for you, Bong, is this. Florida man arrested for practicing dentistry by a license again after being arrested for it 4 years ago.
They did what? They got arrested 4 years ago?
Practicing the dentistry by a license after doing it 4 years ago. He's being a dentist by a license. He had people come to his house, get the work done at his house. I'm sorry, I'm not going to dentists. A dentist is out of their house. I'm not doing it. Ain't happening.
Yeah, that's how I wanted to know. First of all, it wasn't even an office. It was just some dude's apartment. He rolled up in some dude's apartment, walked up to the third floor, and got a piece done. Listen. Like I said, with the whole car dealership, you kind of get what you get and don't get upset. You're going to go to some quack house, not even his office, their house. And you walk up in there, and you get your teeth yanked out. You kind of deserve what you're getting.
Whatever you got coming to you, get you deserve it. You're correct about that. Whatever you got coming, you got it coming. Yes, indeed. Well, Bone, what is your take on today's ball support, man?
I'm always entertaining. I think Florida is a fun state. It always gives me joy and laugh. Anytime you bring back the pastors getting choke slammed or clotheslined or Soho Thunder, I always enjoy those events. I can always just sit there, a man in the cloth, reaching down and grabbing some booty and then getting clothesline to hell, or being at Peeping Tom and looking all thirsty at the cleavage, and then now he's getting Stone Cold starting for his troubles. I wish that the guy had a beer can in each hand and clapping together and like, oh hell yeah, that would be me that dad thing.
And I was shocked this week. This week there was no Daddy Gone stories in Florida. Well, fake Daddy Gone stories in Florida this week. So maybe they got the message. They're not dead.
Yeah, they're not dead anymore. And even I know that. I'm in Jersey. They're not dead.
They're just in a stupor. They're shocked because of the falling temperatures. They're reptiles. Okay, they it brings them down. You know, they have just a little bit of shock. That's all. Well, folks, it's Boss and Bone. This is the Boss Report. We out.
Hip-hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech, and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you 2 discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, IllStreetRex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh, Family Grind ENT. Believe in it. Get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush. Vicky, who is that? An old boyfriend. Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City. Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow. Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby. And it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.